She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. This show is sponsored by the Chapman Automotive Group, and we thank them for their ongoing support and for all of the wonderful things that they do for our community. So get ready, everybody. We have two very exciting return guests to our show today who are truly paying it forward. Please join me in welcoming the dynamic brother and sister team, Olivia and Carter Reese. And I have to mention, because it's really important, that Olivia turned 12 at the end of August and Carter is 13 and a half. They are the co-founders of One More Generation, which I verified they started at the ripe old ages of 7 for Olivia and 8 and a half for Carter. I can't even get my head around that. But One More Generation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to ensure all endangered species survive at least one more generation. And I can tell you from their amazing journey that they've only just begun. They are about hope, possibility, and change. They inspire me. They're changing the world for all of us. And since we are going to be interviewing both Olivia and Carter, we're going to do it one at a time this time and start with Olivia. And I want to welcome you both. You guys, thank you for being here and being a part of Mrs. Green's World.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Okay, and before I get started, I actually have a quick announcement that I'm proud to announce that we're launching the 5th annual Arizona's Greenest Workplace Challenge this coming Monday, October 6th, and it is only for Arizona. Next year, maybe we'll do the United States Greenest Workplace Challenge, but it's our way of showcasing businesses that are committed to sustainable practices and very proud of their efforts to preserve this planet of ours. It takes everybody's effort and everybody moving forward and paying it forward. So if you're an Arizona listener, or if you know someone in Arizona and are the owner of companies doing their part to go green, or know companies that are, that you frequent, please visit our website at Mrs. Green's World to nominate the company or let them know that it's going on. We will be accepting nominations through October 17th and then let the voting begin. And the exciting part for me is that people from all over the country can and do vote, and we will be doing our best to spread the good green word. So Olivia, let's get started and make it all about you two and the exciting things that are going on in your life. Just from when I last spoke to both of you, and we were remembering there was a snowstorm, which is hard to believe. I think it was 91 here today where I live. So why don't we start with giving our audience a little bit of background about One More Generation, because not everybody knows who you are and what you're doing. So do you want to take that one, Olivia?
Yes. Well, first of all, I'd like to say happy birthday to your daughter, because I know it's her birthday today.
How sweet of you. Katie Murphy, darling, will be hearing that and tweeting about it. Thank you, Olivia.
You're welcome.
Okay.
So to get right to the background is, so we started One More Generation back in 2009. After my aunt adopted cheetahs for us, and we kept adopting them and giving money to the organization. And I asked my dad, why did cheetahs need to be adopted? And he said, well, great question. If there weren't agencies like the one you're working with, there might not be cheetahs when you get older. And I got very upset, and I asked my dad, what can we do about this problem? And he said, well, great question. Well, when you guys get older, you guys can start a company. And I took that as, Daddy said we're starting a company.
I love it. Okay.
So I went to my brother, and I told him all about how we're going to start this company. And then we kept bugging our dad, saying, oh, when are we going to start this? And then he kept pushing it off. and we thought he was lying to us. And then he said, "Okay, you guys, I'll let you start this company." And so that's how we started our company.
So little did he know, because I do know what you have accomplished since then. And I have to comment on how very articulate and polished you are in telling that story. And let us mention that the cheetahs that you were adopting were in South Africa. So you were doing thinking globally and acting globally with what you started here in the United States as a nonprofit. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to highlight some of the programs that you're now engaged in, which have certainly spread to global impact. And we're going to lead up to a very exciting honor that you're both going to be the recipients of in December. And you're not going to believe it, you guys. December 5th is my birthday. So there's some serendipity with the Reese's and Mrs. Green, I can tell you that. So I'll be celebrating for you. Okay, Olivia, 1 million footprints to save Africa. Tell us about it.
So 1 million footprints to save Africa is about a campaign that Carter and I and some people that we work with in South Africa created to raise awareness about the issue of poaching and all the endangered species in Africa to save them. And so we decided that we wanted to raise awareness by getting kids footprints. So now we go to schools, churches, basically anybody who listens, and we have them step in paint and step on a canvas, and we're trying to raise up to 1 million footprints to save Africa. And after we get hopefully over 1 million footprints, this canvas will travel around the world with UNESCO, and it'll just go to raise awareness about the issue of endangered species.
I've been interviewing guests for 6 years, and I am never, like, they never cease to amaze me, both of you included. And I just have to ask you, what inspired you for that creative idea with the footprints and the canvas? I mean, it is such a great visual. It will have such an impact. What was the inspiration behind that idea?
Well, what it was is we just partnered with a group, and we decided, why don't we raise awareness for this? Because if the rhinos and all the other endangered species will become extinct, then the tourists won't come, and then South Africa wouldn't get money, and people would lose their jobs, and that would increase the level of poverty.
And it certainly is raising awareness. So I have this visual, and we're going to talk about it later, but the award ceremony you're going to, you could get, you know, Larry King's footprints and Jane Goodall's footprints, and you could have some pretty star-studded footprints stepping on canvas. I'm sure it's probably not going to happen, but knowing you two, I wouldn't be surprised at anything, and I don't say that easily. Okay, so 1 million footprints, and you're really basically using a younger generation network to activate the obtaining of the footprints. Is that fair? You're getting other kids around the world to spread the word?
Yes, that's true.
Okay. So that's that one, and I can barely breathe. Okay. What about an upcoming trip to Vietnam? Tell us about that. You guys, come on. What's going to go on in Vietnam?
Well, we just recently came back from Africa, and we contacted with the U.S. Embassy in Hanoi, Vietnam, and where we're going to go over there and meet with a bunch of kids, and we're also going to have this conference called Operation Game Change, and it's where we're going to talk about how we can save all the animals, and because we just go through a process, and we're also going to be talking a lot about rhinos.
Okay, and did you target Vietnam because of their situation with endangered species and poaching? But why did you choose Vietnam as the place to have this? Operation Game Change. Hashtag, I'm excited.
Well, Vietnam is driving the demand for rhino horns, and we're going to go over there and try to educate the parents and children of people who buy this rhino horn. And did you know that rhino horn is the exact same material as your hair and your fingernails?
I did not. So they're poaching to get the horns. I mean, I've seen some of the videos, and they are really and truly, you know, nauseating, sickening, upsetting. They just cut the horns off and leave the rhinos to die, correct?
Yes, and then the worst part of it is they eat the rhino horn.
Because of some belief of what is in them that will help them in health ways, correct?
Yes, they think it'll help them look younger. They'll think it'll help them cure hangovers, and it just really doesn't work.
So tell me how, connect the dots for me, because I like to connect the big green dots. So you were in South Africa on another wonderful mission, I'm sure, and then that led to a trip to Vietnam. What was the conversation? How did it get started that was going to be one of the next things on your agenda?
Well, because we educated kids in South Africa, and
okay,
we told them about what happens with the rhino horn, and we happen to know about people in Vietnam and China eating the rhino horn, and so we decided that we wanted to go over there and educate the kids there, so that way they can teach their parents, and then it goes with the chain, and they can teach them, and it keeps going on, and soon, hopefully, there will be no more rhino horn, poaching.
So I want to ask you a somewhat personal question that I think you'll probably feel comfortable answering. You are young in earth years, as I would call it, certainly not in wisdom. How do you handle the really harsh part of this at such a young age? What are your coping mechanisms? Do you focus on what you can do to be making a difference? Are there times when it's really hard for you to handle? What's your personal journey, Olivia?
Well, I know that somebody has to do something about it, but sometimes it just touches me and I just can't handle it, so it's sometimes really hard for me. But then after I go through that, I just say, I got to do something about it. I can't let this happen, so I just have to do it.
And it probably helps a lot that you're doing it as a brother-sister team. You have each other to bounce ideas off of and to co-create. And, you know, your father probably should be getting an award for starting, you know, helping you start this and trying to keep track of all that you are up to. Isn't that true? We have to give him, like, the Father of the Year award.
He said that he's just the driver.
That's great. And I'm sure very proud to be that driver. So you're going to Vietnam. When is that going to happen?
Maybe March, April, or May, sometime of
okay.
next year.
Okay, so you're really planning ahead. And then what about the idea, I call it cross-pollination, you are also talking to me about, sharing with us about Vietnam youth visiting Africa. That was on the possible items to discuss with you. So is that another separate thing, or is that as a result of what you did?
It's connected. So we're talking about the Vietnam youth visiting Africa. So we had a couple of delicacies in Vietnam, Hanoi, Vietnam, and they actually traveled over to South Africa to learn about the issue of rhino poaching.
Okay.
And they actually worked with one of our board members in South Africa, and she took them all over the place teaching them what's important about rhinos and what's happening to them. And it was just really amazing.
So it's just it starts activating this big green global matrix of preserving endangered species. And it's really, when you look at the rate at which some species are disappearing, it's really scary, especially at your age. I mean, for me, it's like, I've got to have hope, and you're doing something about it. So I'm just going to, you know, give you high praise for that again. Okay. When you're reaching out to these kids and to when you talk about delegates, what's the primary way that you communicate, and how do you overcome the language barrier, or do most kids in Vietnam speak English? I mean, most countries I visited, people speak English all over the world. So what's your primary way of, you know, keeping the communication alive?
Well, if it was a place like Africa, their second language is English. So
right.
That was easy to have them. But some of the places that we went to in Africa really didn't have that, so we just had to communicate with emotions and stuff like that. But in Vietnam and China, we had translators that translate stuff for us.
Oh, my gosh. So it's a lot of arranging, and I'm sure the driver has something to do with that. We'll just call him the driver, your poor dad. High five, Jim Reese. Okay, so let's go on to the next agenda item or topic or difference that you're making, which is near and dear to my heart because it really does matter and it really hurts our planet and our environment and ourselves, the plastic and recycling awareness curriculum. Can you talk about that for a bit?
Yes. Well, when we went down to the Gulf on my 8th birthday to give the supplies to the Marine Mammal and Sea Turtle Rescue Center because of the oil spill.
Right.
A professor came up to us on the fifth day that we were there and said, "I congratulate you guys on what you guys are doing, but what are you guys doing about the environment?" And my dad got really upset at her and said, "What do you mean? Haven't my kids done enough? Why would you put more burden on them?"
I know, she's 8 for heaven's sake. He's 9 and a half.
Yeah, and she was like, "I'm just saying, it takes me 6 to 8 weeks to rehab these sea turtles. Where do you want me to put them when they're healthy again?" And my dad said, "Back in the ocean, of course, the oil will be gone someday." And she said, "Oil is not my problem, plastic pollution is." And that was the first time we had ever heard of plastic pollution. So then for the next 5 months, we researched about plastic. And we learned a bunch of stuff. And then we partnered with two teachers and one retired principal. And we came up with this curriculum, a 5-day curriculum, that where we go to schools and each day we take 45 minutes out of the day to teach them about plastic pollution. And on the fifth day, in the beginning of the week, we asked them to bring in all the plastic trash they collect from home. Bring it to the school. And so, sorry. So then on the fifth day, we have them all help us build an art sculpture out of all the plastic trash they've collected.
So when you go into these schools, and we're going to have to break in to about a minute and a half, but I want you, if you can answer this quickly. When you and Carter can't do it all, so are you using other ambassadors, other representatives of one more generation to help spread the word to more kids in more schools throughout the United States and other places?
Yes, we actually have board members. We have some in Australia, we have some in Africa, and some in USA.
Okay, I mean, it's pretty amazing. And when we come back, I still have a couple more questions that I want to ask you, and then we'll get Carter, who's sitting by patiently as well. But I want to talk to you a little bit about, I know that you request meeting with city officials, and you meet with kings and heads of state. So will you be prepared a little bit to talk about that and the important role that One More Generation is taking in getting it to, you know, higher levels in government where people can actually implement changes? Does that sound like a nice segue for the next segment?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. If you're listening, you're as happy as I am. You are as hopeful as I am. I have the privilege of interviewing what I call the dynamic duo brother and sister team, Olivia Reese and Carter Reese. Olivia is 12. She was 12 at the end of August. Carter is 13 and a half. They are the co-founders of One More Generation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to ensure all endangered species survive at least one more generation. Don't move. Stay here with us. Think blue. Think beyond green. Think TDI clean diesel technology. One part of the Volkswagen Think Blue initiative, our goal of creating and encouraging eco-conscious products and behaviors. This is Mrs. Green. A car that can drive a long way should still make you want to, well, drive a long way. Volkswagen Jetta's TDI clean diesel is a high-mileage vehicle that lets you stop at the filling station less often so you can spend more time enjoying the road. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI.
Find everything you need for your next adventure at Bookman Sports Exchange. Buy it new, buy it used, or trade up and go where you've never been before. Explore this big backyard we call Tucson. Bookman Sports Exchange has the gear you need for anything from a quick day hike in Sabino to a long backpacking trip through the Grand Canyon. Bookman Sports Exchange, open daily, located on Speedway, east of Country Club. For details and more information, visit bookmansports.com.
Ready to clean out that garage? Goodwill offers you 40 convenient locations all over southern Arizona. And at every one, you'll be greeted by a uniformed Goodwill employee trained to assist you in unloading your items, prepared to offer you a receipt for your tax-deductible donation, and grateful for something you won't get anywhere else.
Thank you. Because of your donation, I have a job.
The gift of Goodwill. For a list of Goodwill donation sites, go to goodwillsouthernaz.org.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And we are giving you so much to think about today from our very young and very, very informed and educated and inspiring guests. Please join me once again in welcoming Olivia and Carter Reese. They are the co-founders of One More Generation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to ensure all endangered species survive at least one more generation. And they have started a myriad of programs, all of which still have that very big, very large intention and focus of protecting our endangered species, from starting out with helping to the cheetahs to survive. Now they're helping with the attacks on the rhino population. So Olivia, I just want to ask you a question about when you start something like a public awareness coalition. Have you had challenges with having clout and requesting meetings with officials because you're kids?
Well, sometimes yes, and sometimes no, because some people think that we don't know a lot about what we are talking about.
And that doesn't last very long, I'm sure.
And some people say, okay, come on in, let's just talk.
So you do get welcomed and they do take you seriously.
Yes, most people do that.
And you actually have a curriculum. Am I right to help the program for the schools that you're working with? And did you have help with that? I mean, did teachers help? Did your dad help? How did you come up with an actual Plastic Awareness Week curriculum?
Well, my dad, of course, helped, and we had two teachers and one retired principal who also helped us write this Plastic and Awareness week-long curriculum for schools.
And, you know, in looking back, which you can, it's hard to say that because you're 12, but What do you feel about the impact? Do you think that as a planet, we are getting more aware about plastic pollution and its devastating impact? Or do you think there's still so much work to be done? Do you see progress because of, you know, the circles that you walk in?
We definitely do see progress, but we have so much more to do.
Yeah, there is absolutely and positively no doubt about that. So what I'm going to do is we are going to turn the mic over, so to speak, turn the speakerphone, the great continuing conversation over to Carter. Carter, thanks for your patience.
No problem. Thank you for having me on this.
Well, I know you are a major contribution to this. It's more than just a duo. It's a community. It's, you know, it's a village helping do what you're doing. So share with us about the Rhino documentary.
So Olivia explained how we just recently came back from South Africa.
Right.
We stayed there for 3 weeks with a film crew out of Los Angeles, and we were filming the whole 3 weeks we were there about where we were going. We went to rhino sanctuaries, we went to rhino orphanages, all these different places to learn about rhinos so that we could catch it on film about what's happening. We talked to a lot of different organizations. We work with Dance to Be Wild and Bongi's Quest and all these different organizations that were helping us while we were down there. And so to get these people to help us was really a help, but then to get the film crew to come down was more helpful.
Amazing. I mean, it's amazing. So how did you connect that dot? What was the name of the film crew? I mean, it's a huge deal.
We actually met them by accident. We were trying to connect with someone else who also had a film crew production, but then we didn't find luck with him, and someone on that line was there with him, so they said, we'll be willing to help you.
Oh, my gosh.
And so we paid them to come down, and their company name is Red Sky Pictures.
Okay, love it.
Yeah, and it's a great film crew, and they helped us so much, and we had a great time down there with them. You can check out their trailer, our trailer, on our website, onemoregeneration.org, and you can see what great, amazing work they've done along with what we've done with all the other companies.
So is it, and I'm sorry that I don't know this, and I should, I thought I did a lot of homework. Is it finished? Is the project finished, or is it just the trailer?
No, it's just the trailer.
Okay, I'm glad I didn't miss that. I thought that was the case.
The trailer is 17 minutes. The reason why is because the film crew couldn't decide which parts to take out, because they loved it all, and so they cut it down as small as they possibly could. And there are some graphic scenes in there, well, because very little, but that's what the real life, that's what poaching is. And
that's
so,
what people have to see at times, I think, to get their attention.
Exactly. So we have the trailer up there. But the work is not done yet because we're going to Vietnam, like Olivia mentioned, and finishing the work,
right,
the project there.
And the same film crew, Red Sky, they're going to come with you?
Maybe.
Are they
going to
film
the
second part of it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so stay tuned. This is called A Third Show with Olivia and Carter. I think we should start a radio show and all three of us do it together to get the next generation involved. And you guys could so handle your own radio show. There's no doubt in my mind. So that's really exciting. And what is the name of the documentary?
So first of all, we would love to have a radio show with you.
You think I'm kidding, but, you know, we're putting it out there, and I have 24-hour access to the Airstream, so don't tell your dad. He might just say, okay, I'm not going to drive, and I'm not going to do a radio show. Enough already.
He's sitting right next to me, so he can hear everything you're saying.
I know. Is he shaking his head saying, no, no, no?
Saying yes, yes, yes.
Okay. We have really stranger things have happened than the possibility. It's one of my dreams, and it always has been, because I have a great rapport with, I call children of all ages. I'm one of them. And it's so important what you're doing and to get the word out. So, okay, the Rhino documentary. You also have another thing. I mean, you exhaust me. I think I'm busy and there's no time for sleep. You've started another division, and I just, you know, I'm smiling because of your ages and how it continues to impress me. Tell us about We've Got You Covered.
So I created this newest edition, part of One More Generation, because if you go down in Atlanta, Georgia, you'll see all these homeless people, and it really bothers me to see that they don't have enough food to make it through the day. They don't have shelter to sleep at night. And especially in the winter, so many people die from it. I think like 5, 6, or 7 people died last year in Atlanta because of the harsh weather. And so I created this We've Got You Covered because I wanted to help people realize that things will get better. And we started creating blankets that Delta didn't want anymore, and they gave them to this dry cleaning, and if it had any scratches or marks on it, they wouldn't want it, so they'd throw them away. So we would come, and we got over 500 blankets the first time we went there.
Unbelievable.
And then we got another 500, and so it keeps going on like that. And they're really thick, like the duvet blankets, and they're really, really long, and they're nice and white and thick.
They're like the first-class blankets, not Coach.
No, and so if it has any slight tear, they won't want it, and that won't matter to the homeless people if it has a tear, a mark on it. So Olivia had a great idea that we write inspirational quotes on top of the blankets so that they can read it whenever they go to bed or it's in the middle of winter. And so we go and deliver these blankets. And I want to ask you a question. Did you know that there are over 26 children homeless shelters in Atlanta?
I did not know that. Just children's shelters?
Only children.
I did not know that. And it's really sad, but it's very impressive that there are. It's one of those mixed things. I don't think that there are, you know, in my realm of traveling, and my background is in social services, we had women and children's shelters, but not shelters for just children. It's amazing.
Yes. They also have the parents' shelters right next door so that they can see their kids every now and then. But then we work with the Children's Restoration Network. They are the people who work with the shelters and take care of all the kids. And the interesting thing about it is with them, we start a blanket decorating party where we get kids to come in and decorate the blankets, even if it's at our birthday party or anyone's birthday party, and then we bring it out to the homeless people. But the most exciting parts of those is when you deliver it, and we also sometimes get the homeless children to write their own and draw their own things so that when they take it back, they love it more than they would have if someone just handed it to them.
And one of the things that I think is amazing and so noteworthy is that in the interactions I've had with either watching documentaries or listening to interviews or my own personal reaction, homeless people just want you to see them. They don't want you to act like they're not there, act like they're invisible. You know, it's like a lot of them say, just see me. Some of them are homeless by choice. That is surprising to me. But many of them are not. And so you're seeing them and giving them something to keep them warm at night.
Yes.
So here's what I want to ask you. With the overactive brains that both of you have, which is a high compliment, and the myriad of issues to step up to the plate or to implement when you start another division, what goes into the decision-making process with you and your sister and your family and, you know, your board? Why did you feel this was one that you had to do? It's labor intensive. It's, you know, takes more feet on the ground. What made you decide that this is one you were going to really pursue?
Well, because we wanted to get more kids to get involved.
Okay.
We want more kids to realize what's happening. We don't want them to be couch potatoes. I use that a lot. We don't want them to just sit around and watch TV all day. I know it can be fun watching a movie every now and then, because we just watched one today, but it's not like your whole life. There's school, there's education, there's environment, there's all these different concepts that you need to know and to get through life. And so if we can educate these people on the issue of, like, plastic pollution and homelessness and endangered species, then those kids will get really far. And that's exactly what we're trying to get past.
And it'll change the world. So exactly. Is it okay if I ask you what movie you watched? Because I want to share with you a movie that I watched that I think all of you would love your network of people, and maybe you've already seen it. So what movie did you watch that was fun?
Well, we watched How to Train Your Dragon 2.
I love that movie.
It was really, really... Sadly, our mom was not there to see it with us, but then we watched the movie. We were actually the only ones in the theater, in the whole entire theater.
Oh, my gosh. It's like when I was on vacation with my grandchildren, we watched that, and it's such a the first one. I have not seen the second one. So the first one was... They're like, oh, come on, Grandma, you'll like it. And I'm like, when it was over, oh, my gosh, that was such a good movie. So the one that I want to tell you about that I watched last night, that was, it was one of those times where I was, you know, crying. It was shocking. It's upsetting. What can Mrs. Green's World do to be a solution? And it's a movie called Lunch Hour by a man who is a producer and director in L.A. named James Costa. And it's about... You know, what we're feeding our kids at school. And I know that are you both homeschooled now? One of you is homeschooled and one of you goes to school. Is that still current information?
No, I was homeschooled last year and Livy was going to a different school, but now we're both homeschooled.
Yeah, you don't have time for regular school. I was like, I could have answered that question. No time for showing up at school. You have to be learning on the road. But the movie Lunch Hour, I think that you as a family would enjoy it. And it's all part of, you know, the environmental challenges and the health challenges that kids face. And what made me think of it is you said you watched a movie and couch potatoes. You know, 50% of the kids in our country are on track for being obese in the very, very near future. So you're really creating solutions for a number of, you know, challenges that are byproducts of what you're doing, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so we have time a little bit right now to talk about, you know, this is another one that just blows me away on the Carter and Olivia show, okay? You're working with the Department of State, and when I laugh, it's not that I think it's funny, it's that it's this amazing, unbelievable admiration. So just know that. It's like you're working with the Department of State on getting environmental curriculum into more schools. So tell us about that.
So can you hear me all right?
I can hear you great. The sound quality is so good.
Okay, perfect. I thought I clicked a button on the phone to mute it. So Mr. Secretary Kerry invited us to the State Department for the Our Oceans Conference.
Okay.
In June of this year. And we went there and we learned so much about plastic pollution was one of them, and also about ocean debris and all these different problems, like overfishing.
Right.
And ocean acidification. And all these were great. And Mr. Leonardo DiCaprio was there as well, and he pledged over the 2 days $7 million, and then over the next week a total of $10 million, which I have no idea where he gets that money, probably from movies.
Wow.
But, yeah, and that's just like a portion of his money.
Right.
And he did a ocean sanctuary so that no one can fish there. And which I thought was amazing. And all these other heads of countries and states were pledging millions of dollars, and over the 2 days, $1.8 billion were pledged to build this marine sanctuary. And so I thought that was just phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. So we are going to have to take another quick break. There's lots more to cover. I want to talk about this a little bit more. We might be even to develop the curriculum for your first 8 radio shows. But what we should really talk about is, can we get Leonardo DiCaprio on the show and have you guys interview him? Everybody, please stay here with me. I have the honor and privilege of being the interviewer for Carter and Olivia Reese, co-founders of One More Generation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to ensure all endangered species survive at least one more generation. Please stay here with me. We'll be right back with more good stuff.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at mrsgreensworld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at mrsgreensworld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Mrs. Green's World is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 and Glimmerglass Radio Networks. If you have questions about the show, write to us at info@mrsgreensworld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green with some pretty impressive news about the VW Jetta TDI. It's got a turbocharged clean diesel engine. It's 90% cleaner than previous diesel engines. It gets 609 miles on one tank of gas, more than the Prius. That's from Tucson, Arizona to San Diego and halfway back. And it's got an amazing 6-speed Tiptronic transmission. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI or visit ChapmanTucson.com.
The Habit Store is a big operation with staff and volunteers working hard to reduce our carbon footprint. We sell donated building materials, furniture and appliances, and recycle the metal from items that we can't repair or sell. We even have solar panels on the roof. The good deals we offer shoppers means Tucson Habitat can build and renovate homes for hardworking people. The Habit Store's store hours are Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, Saturdays, 8 to 4, and you'll find us on Grant Road, just east of I-10 in Tucson, Arizona.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And we're certainly providing you with an opportunity today to have many inspirational thoughts. I am so honored to be interviewing Olivia and Carter Reese, the co-founders of One More Generation. As I mentioned, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to ensure all endangered species survive at least one more generation. Again, you guys, thank you for being with us and for all of the things you're up to in really preserving the planet on all of our behalf. So, Carter, let's just elaborate a little bit more about the curriculum with the State Department. And when you get into oceans, it's one of my passions. Again, plastics in the ocean, and like you said, I mean, oyster populations disappear, ocean acidification. Is there another division there with working with the State Department? I'm afraid to ask.
No, there actually isn't.
Good.
But recently got invited back to the State Department to talk with Miss Undersecretary Novelli, and she talked with us about our plastic curriculum. And along with Terramar and Jason Learning, they were there with us, and we were talking about how they could maybe fund our curriculum. And Miss Novelli said that she could fund part of it, but NOAA could fund the other part. She said she'd try to get us hooked up with NOAA, and we just thought that was amazing that she'd even do that.
It is amazing that she would even do that, and it's something that we need. I mean, when I was talking to the man that I told you about, James Costa, for the pre-record earlier today, he was talking about so many things in our schools that are broken, and we didn't want to be the Debbie Downers or the blame game, but we have forced our schools to focus so much on just academic achievement as defined by some test score that we have forgotten some of the important pieces like PE and having fun, and certainly not environmental curriculums integrated into every school. So I know that I'll be having you both back on the show, so you'll have to keep us, you know, updated on what happens with that very important component that you're putting your energy to. So now I think what I should do is let's have you talk to us about the Captain Planet Gala, and you both being the recipient of the Young Superhero for Earth Award. This is an amazing organization. I think it was founded by Ted Turner's daughter. May have been founded. It was definitely on Ted Turner's idea of Captain Planet. So tell us about the award and how you found out about it. I want to know the inside scoop.
So we found out about this award because we work with the Captain Planet Foundation.
Okay.
And we've been working with them for 2 years now. And we've done a lot of work with them. We've done Captain Planet events where my dad would dress up as Captain Planet.
Your dad, I just love it. We have to have a show interviewing him of what it's like to be the parent and get your mom on it. We could have both of them.
My mom's not here most of the time, but she'll be home later this week. But she'd love to.
We've got to do it. I'm serious. It's like behind the scenes.
So the Captain Planet Gala is, we go to this whole gala, and we're going to be awarded the Young Superhero for Earth Award with Jane Goodall. She's going to be giving us our award, and we are going to be sitting at the same table with Ted Turner, Jane Goodall, Larry King, and our grandfather.
So can you guys kind of like do this is one of my favorite things that makes people laugh. Can you do the pinky swear that you'll send Mrs. Green some pictures from that event so I'll be able to post it on Facebook?
If I could put my hand through the phone right now, I would pinky.
I love it. You have no idea how much I wanted to be there, and miracles still happen. I mean, Kelly, my show producer, is trying her hardest just to be a little fly on the wall and to watch all that happens. And I'm not sure if you know this, but I did get a 30-minute interview with Dr. Jane Goodall, and that show is going to air on November 29th. And the reason we picked that date is because it's right before that you are going to be the recipient of it. I know she's the exemplar awardee, and to interview Jane Goodall it was amazing for me. I was very nervous, and my husband said, I'm not even interviewing her, and I'm nervous because everybody in the world knows who Dr. Jane Goodall is, and she was so gracious and wonderful. So
she's an amazing lady.
I mean,
and
she
we
is.
We met her, I think, at Georgia State once while we were speaking, while she was speaking, and we got to afterwards come up with her, and we had a picture that we were showing her because we took a picture at her chimpanzee Eden while we were in South Africa, and she said, oh, I've seen this picture before. And we're like, wait, what?
You've seen this picture? Kidding.
She said, yeah, my coworker showed it to me after I got back. And so, because we had done a 500-hour work period for them, and so we got an award from her organization for that, and she's just an amazing lady, so nice, and I can't wait to meet with her again.
And you know, she's on the road 300 days of year just working, and her whole focus is on working with children now. I mean, she's just said, this is my life work, and the focus of her foundation is working with children. I mean, I am absolutely and positively beyond Thunderdome Express with Jane Goodall. So
I wonder what she does for her 65 and 1/4 day off.
I wonder what she does too. Maybe she sleeps. I mean, imagine that. But she really is traveling the world. When I spoke with her, she was in Florida, And I felt so blessed because I got to meet her last year. And one of the people that's very close to her that travels with her, I really worked them and said, do you think that I could ever get an interview with Jane Goodall? And she said, I have one card left and I'm giving it to you. So yes, it worked. I worked her hard enough. And what an honor to be able to interview her. And I mean, she's a legacy. It's what more can I say? So I'll be with you guys in spirit for that. So Olivia, you can chime in. I'd like you both to answer this, if you will, in the time that we have left. You have really many important messages for all of us, and especially for our next generation. For each of you, do you have one that stands out for you the most, and that there are days that you say, I really just want to work on this one thing for the next year? So either one of you can answer that first. It's what's your, do you have a top passion or do you want it all?
Well, my top passion, this is Olivia speaking, my top passion is animals, and and I want to say that anybody can make a difference, and if we can, you can too.
What a great message. I mean, it is. If it's small steps, big impact. Okay, so that's basically what you're saying is...
And, yeah.
Get excited. Okay, Carter, what about you? Is there one thing that, I mean, I understand that, you know, preserving endangered species for one more generation is it. But is there one particular thing that you say, this is what I want to get up and do every day? Or are there too many choices and you have to do a lot of a little bit about a lot of them?
Well, a lot about a lot of them. Because we do a lot of work, but the message that I wanted to get out there was youth empowerment. Because if the youth knows about it, and they're not, like I said, couch potatoes, then they will be successful in what they do. They will learn more. They'll get out and do stuff in the environment. And that is a great way to start without being a couch potato.
I know, and I love that you're using that word. It's like when we go on vacation with our grandkids, which they love and we love, it's like, let's get outside. Let's just be in nature, and they know how. And I said to my granddaughter, who's 13, I said, you know, Maddie, I was a little worried because you're 13, and, you know, did you want to go get a pedicure or a manicure? And she looked at me, and she went, Grandma, are you kidding? I've been coming out in nature with you and Grandpa since the day I was born, so I belong here. So that was a really very precious moment for me. Okay, so let's go a little bit in the, like, the dream machine for, you know, the kind of big picture. It's a tough question to even ask, but what do you hope to accomplish in the next even 3 to 5 years? Engaging X number of kids, you know, getting those million footprints on the canvas. What would you both like to see happen in the foreseeable future?
Well, I would like to see myself get taller.
You are just the cat's meow. Oh my God, what a delightful answer. Okay, so we can hope for that.
And I'd also, but the real answer is, I'd like the million footprints on the canvas. I'd like to see the documentary finished and out where people can buy it and all these different things so we could get more awareness out. I'd like to see more youth working on issues of plastic pollution and animal awareness. And also, I'd like to see a lot of kids just even trying to do something.
And sometimes is that daunting to you? Do you get, like, really wake up and do you want to shake them? Or when you get to kids... When you get to enough kids, do most of them get excited and they want to become involved?
Yes, most of them do get excited and want to get involved, but there are those few who argue with us, telling us that, no, what you're doing is not the way to do it, you should do it this way. And so we understand where they're coming from, but we have it our way and they have it their way.
Well, and just between you and me and your sister and everybody that's listening, when people tell me things like that, I just say very nicely, I said, I think that's a really great idea, and I think you should consider starting your own radio network, because...
We say it all the time, like, say, well, that's a great idea, maybe you should start your own company, and then we ask, who wants to start their own company, or who has started their own company? When we ask that question, who started their own company, everyone raises their hand, said, what's your company? Oh, I forgot the name of it.
So it's not quite the same thing. I mean, seriously. And I interviewed a young lady that really did. She's a 14-year-old, and I will think of her name immediately when I hang up from the show, but she has an eco-fashion line. Her name is Maya, and she is running a business. She's 14 years old, and it's a retail business, and everything that she sells is from repurposed materials and, you know, antique and vintage and on and on. And it's like at 14... Oh, I was trying to think of exactly what I was doing, not starting my own company, trust me. So, Olivia, do you want to say anything about what your hopes and dreams are for the next, you know, foreseeable future, next couple of years?
Well, I would like to see the rhinos repopulate and get bigger and bigger, and no more rhino poaching or any demand for rhino horns. And I'd also like to see... us getting into other projects, a lot of other projects, like stopping the elephant poaching, orangutans, a bunch of other kinds of stuff.
So at this point, is your staff, your team, are they all volunteers, or do you have paid staff that help you? Because is that on the list of things to help really support the structure and the infrastructure of an organization that's rapidly growing?
Well, right now we have all volunteers, but we're still working on this, but we're hopefully trying to get, we're working on to get them paid for what they do.
Yes. And then
But right now everybody's a volunteer.
Yeah, well, it's amazing to even say that. And what we can hope for, and I, you know, I'm a big fan of the Ice Bucket Challenge. I was in the nonprofit world for a while, and I've been on a lot of boards, and, you know, I listen to interviews on NPR. But, you know, your canvas footprint thing could turn into that. It could go viral. And your movie on the rhinos, it could go viral. And, you know, you're challenging people, 1 million people, to get engaged. You just have one movie star, Leonardo DiCaprio, get his footprint on that clay canvas, and people will be standing in line. So good for you that you have, you know, a core of volunteers and hope for a magnificent structure to help to support your important work. So we have about 3 minutes left, 2 minutes left, and I have to forward promote the next shows. What's your call to action, both of you, as quickly as you can say? For people listening, when they got off this interview and stopped listening, what would you say, do this one thing?
Well, I'd like you guys to, first of all, if you see a piece of trash, pick it up. If you see something wrong that should not be going on, do something about it. And there's so many ways that too many ways, I can't say all of them, but there's so many ways that you just can't fix everything in the world, but one step at a time will make you go farther.
Okay, that's a really great message. What about you, Olivia?
I would like to say that if you see somebody doing something to an animal that's not right, speak up for the animal that does not have a voice.
Oh, my God. You two never cease to amaze me. And what I would like people to do is to visit your website, onemoregeneration.org, and consider making a donation, because there can't be anything I can think of that would be better to receive financial support than what you're doing. I want to remind our listeners that you are a nonprofit and can only continue your efforts with the support of all of us. So that's my shout out for the call to action. I can be your commercial. Let me just quickly say that this Tuesday at 7 o'clock, an interview with Maribel Alvarez, the topic of the show, we eat what we are. It's really going, not we are what we eat, but she is really an amazing human being. She's a cultural anthropologist. And then next Saturday, get ready for this, guys. Jerome Fresnay. I have to make sure I know how to pronounce his word. He's a Frenchman with a very thick accent. And what he wants the world to do is learn to love eating weeds. He's an executive chef. He's a thought leader. And you know me, I like to be edgy, and I can't wait to interview him on the show. So Carter and Olivia, Jim, thank you for saying yes to being a part of Mrs. Green's world, and bless you for the work you're doing. It's an honor to be a part of your world. Make it a great green week, everybody.